everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Fashion Grunge Pod. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Charles.
Oh, I'm actually really excited. It was time to do kind of a light movie. I don't know why. I was just thinking, I just did Peaky Blinders for Patreon, and I was like, I need something light. This is really dark. So Charles was like, let's do Cuffs from 1992. So I was like, I don't know what that is, but okay, I'd heard of it because I'd seen that Christian Slater was in it. So that was enough for me. That and Mia Jovovich was enough for me.
I forgot how stupid this movie was. This is the movie that brought Christian Slater into my life,
and like really? This is
where it all started. And I feel like as dumb as this movie is, it like has a certain place just for how incredible, you know, Christian Slater is, and the gift that he presented himself to the world as being. Like,
I'm trying to think. Okay, so this was, I only heard about it because you told me about it, so I didn't know this movie existed. So this was your first introduction to Christian Slater?
I like rented it when it came out in 92, which means it probably came out on video, I guess either later that year or probably possibly early 93. Mm-hmm. This was basically a like blockbuster staple, you know.
So, oh.
You know, like you know, I do like Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and this, or I do, you know, like Honey I Shrunk the Kids and Troop Beverly Hills, or
ooh,
you know,
yeah.
I do like Death Becomes from The Bodyguard. So
ooh. This says so much about you as like an 11-year-old kid, like going up to the counter at the Blockbuster and they're like, so what are you getting this weekend? And then you're like, put up like Death Becomes Her, like the First Wives Club. It's like, who is this kid? You're like, thanks. I'm spending the weekend with the ladies.
Yeah.
So funny. I feel the same way you feel about Christian Slater as Andrew Keegan in Camp Nowhere.
Okay.
Camp Nowhere was like my horrible, like kind of, I love this movie because I was obsessed with Andrew Keegan. But Christian Slater would have been way cooler. I remember seeing him first in Interview with a Vampire. I'm
okay.
Pretty sure that's the first time I saw him because I remember being like, okay, I think my brain, like as a, I don't know what was I, like 12 or 13 when Interview with the Vampire came out. Like that, my brain, I think, short-circuited having like Brad Pitt as like hot vampire and like Christian Slater in the same room together. I was like, there's something going on here. I like don't know what I feel about it. And then you have like Tom Cruise like coming in and I was like, this is very confusing yet very illuminating on so many levels. I'm like really confused on like what to feel about this. But yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about Christian Slater. He's just like, I was just saying off air, he's such a like one of a kind
mm-hmm.
personality that I feel like you just can't replicate. He just, it's just who he is, you know?
Yeah. I thought like when he first started, he got compared to Jack Nicholson a lot, just
yeah,
because they like both have the voice,
mm-hmm.
You know, like that, you know, kind of that sly twang, you know,
yeah, it's like raspy,
kind of talk like this, you know,
yeah, it's like kind of raspy,
yeah.
I find Jack Nicholson way more like sinister
mm-hmm.
and like intimidating than
yeah.
Christian Slater. Like that's, I think, the difference. I mean, they might sound similar, but I feel like, and the faces, I think his face kind of like automatically contorts into like that Jack Nicholson
yeah.
kind of ish face. But I feel like Christian Slater's like a brunette, like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
He's like kind of like always getting into shit and he's like kind of sly about it and mischievous, but he also like happens to be really hot.
Yeah.
At the same time. But he's like funny, but he's not like obnoxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's really natural. And I think it comes from his kind of New York City upbringing. I feel like he's kind of like a used car salesman. Like he's a fast talker. He's going to make you really like intrigued in what he has to say. He's a good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that is probably, that's like how I feel about the Culkins because they grew up in New York. Like
yeah.
it's like how you see Kieran Culkin and even how he is on Succession or an Igby Goes Down. You would listen to him all day
because mm-hmm.
he just has that like ability to just be, you know, like kind of a jerk, but funny about it. Like that's kind of Christian Slater too.
Yeah. There is a loose attempt at a plot for this movie.
Is there really?
I mean, it's
what was going on.
It basically consists of like Christian Slater basically hamming it up for the camera and just like being being adorable. So
like, I mean, it definitely is. It definitely is like it's like Zach Morris like come to life in like some weird caper. Although I have to say, one of my first impressions was that the way that this was structured, the way this whole movie was structured, it felt like it was like a TV series. Like I would watch like a 21 Jump Street version of this show.
Oh yeah.
I would watch Christian Slater every week and Tony Goldwyn, that Tony Goldwyn, I had no idea. He's in motherfucking, he's like bigger than Christian Slater, honestly, at this point, because he's in Scandal. I see him all over Twitter talking about how he like really is in love with Kerry Washington and like they should be together. And I was like, what is this Scandal show? Do I need to watch Scandal? And like, I saw some clip the other day that I was like, wait, this wasn't on like Showtime? This was on like ABC? Like he's the president and he's talking like this on the phone? Like I was like, wait a minute. Do I need to watch this show? Like, so I might, anyone out there, if I have not seen Scandal and don't really know anything about the Shonda Rhimes universe, should I watch the show? Yes or no? Like, give me I might do a poll. Never seen Scandal, should I watch? Because it's kind of like an investment, but I might watch it.
I've heard that once you're in Scandal, you're like in it, you know,
and
like,
Noel's in it. Oh, Noel from Felicity.
Oh, okay.
Also, people are in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, like, I think like just you know there just take a breath now and realize there is a time in your life when Scandal is not going to dominate like your world completely, and you have to decide whether you want to go down that rabbit hole. Do you, Lauren? Do you want to go down the Scandal rabbit hole? Are you ready? Like, I mean,
I think I want to go down the Scandal rabbit hole. I think I want to be one of those people that just constantly updates their friends on like what's happening in the episode, even though no one's watching it. Although that's kind of like how I am now. It's really funny now that I'm watching Game of Thrones for the first time in like a slow way. I randomly will like write in our group chat that's like me, you, and Mikey, and I'll be like, oh my God, this person stabbed. And you guys are just like, oh yeah, that's right, he is still alive. Wait, where are you? has there been like a war? Where's Jon Snow? Is he around or is he not? I'm just like, what?
So what's going on with those dragons? Anything important?
Yeah, like, where's Khaleesi now? I'm just like, so now I'm finally like creeping my way into the end of season 6 and I feel like it's getting so fucking good now. Yeah. And I'm really ready for like a Bolton style. There better be a Joffrey level end to this Bolton motherfucker.
See, season 7 is the last one, correct?
No, 8.
8, okay.
Yeah, there's two more.
I think they did something weird where they like split 7 and 8. So it's technically one season, but they like split it in two. I think 7 is like 7 episodes and 8 might be 6 or something.
Oh, okay.
So they aren't like full seasons. So okay. Just keep that in mind.
Oh God, I can't wait till I'm done of this. And then have you seen House of the Dragon?
I started it, but I haven't I go past the pilot. So
okay.
Yeah.
I saw the pilot too, because people were like, oh, it's before Game of the Thrones, you don't really need to know. And then I was like, yeah, I know I don't need to know. Like, I can watch this on its own, but I was like, I might as well just watch like the whole show because it's a great show. So
yeah,
I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, I'm slowly getting through that. That's my Game of Thrones progress minute corner. Okay, I forgot to mention too, this is directed by Bruce A. Evans. This premiered January 10th, 1992. So this was one of those like after Christmas, perfect like action comedy.
Yeah.
Also written by the director and Reynold Gideon. Bruce A. Evans is actually more of a screenwriter, I believe. I don't think he really directed. I should have looked this up, right?
These are the same two people who wrote the screenplay for Stand By Me. And they also wrote the screenplay for Starman, which is it's a Jeff Bridges movie, but it's a movie about this. I think it's about this guy who dies and then his body is like taken over by the soul of an alien or something.
Oh, so, weird. Okay.
It's strange, but it's an interesting movie, Jeff Bridges aside. So yeah.
Yeah, he only directed Cuffs and Mr. Brooks. But okay. He just like wrote a bunch of other ones. So yeah, I find that kind of kind of interesting, but I guess Cuffs is an interesting one because I feel like I've seen the photo of Christian Slater and Mia Jovovich, but I didn't know what movie it was from. I think I may have thought it was like a magazine editorial because they were both popular at the time. So I think that's might have been what I thought. Let's see. What is my other thing? Oh yeah, Mia Jovovich also reminds me of Liv Tyler. A lot in this, yes. Like she has that very much vibe. I do love the fourth wall breaks. I was like, this reminds me of Ferris Bueller. I mean, John Hughes is like kind of famous for that, yeah. I think. Yeah. And he does have like a Matthew Broderick type Ferris Bueller, Dennis the Menace kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
But he is so good at that, though. It could easily be cringy, but for some reason, I guess I can see how some people would find it cringy or annoying, but I really like it.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Mila Jovovich looks so much like Liv Tyler in this movie. It's like really creepy. I don't know about you, but I know they like aren't related at all, but I always used to get Renee Zellweger and Joey Lauren Adams mixed up.
Everyone did. They're like the same person.
I mean, are you sure?
There's no way they're not. I mean, everyone out there, like if you tell me Renee Zellweger is and the girl from Mallrats and like Chasing Amy is not Renee Zellweger, like they're. It's actually really wild. Let me see if there's like an article. There has to be.
Are they both in Empire Records or is it just Renee?
No, it's just Renee.
Okay.
Let me see. It's like so scary. There's a Reddit post about it. There's no, let me see. I don't think that they're related though. This looks like a clickbait article. Like I honestly don't think that they're related because I don't know. I feel like I would have known that. But yeah, everyone used to get them confused. There's a photo in Reddit where it's like both of them side by side. And I was like, this is the same person.
Yeah.
And some people are like, nah. And then some people are like, wait, those are two different people? And then everyone's like, holy shit, that's crazy. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny.
It's someone freaky. Else said
Ellen Pompeo.
Oh.
I was like, maybe. I was like, it's really weird though. Yeah, it is. I definitely see that though.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have any other like early first impressions?
No. Okay. I think that this probably impacted my development just because, you know, smartass people in like positions of authority are kind of a trigger for me. Like, you know. Ooh. I guess I just find it really hot. So
like, you're like, this did something to me.
This movie just, it did something. It like, there's no way it didn't do anything. So,
I mean, it did something to me and I watched it like 3 hours ago it's okay for the first time. So it's totally okay. I do love me some Christian Slater. I love that. Like, I love that kind of attitude actor that really natural type actor that I feel like we don't get now because the stories now are so complex. We either get like a really kind of, we don't get down to earth characters much anymore. Like we don't get likable characters that much.
Yeah.
Every time we get these main characters, there's always like something about them that's like a little off. Like we always find out that there's something about them that we don't really like, or they just kind of make you feel that way with a lot of different stories now. But in this one, it was like he was just lovable and like cool.
Yeah.
And even though he was kind of leaving his pregnant girlfriend in the beginning, we just skated past it. Then he just, you know.
Okay, that was bad, but I think it worked out, you know.
Like, he wrote her like a Dear John letter and then just like took off and then somehow got back with her and married her and had the baby in the end.
And I guess back then, you know, we like didn't have social media. So if you wanted to like, just like, you know, pine over someone, you just called them on the phone and didn't say anything.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. So. That was just breathe into the phone. Like not like a stalker. That's like really fucking scary. Now that I think about it. That's like standing outside someone's house. That's like next level. If you're actually standing outside their house. That's super bad. Okay, cool. Well, let's move to behind the scenes. Did you get anything?
I have a few minor things.
I didn't get a lot. So,
Rotten Tomatoes gives this... critics give this movie a 28. Audience gave this movie a 47, which...
That's about right.
I mean, I'd give this movie like a, you know, like a low D.
Oh, yeah, like a 60?
Yeah.
Maybe? You know? Yeah.
I mean, 60 might be a little high. It's fine. But, you know.
Another question before we move on. What's your recent faves that Christian Slater has done lately? Like, have you seen his newer stuff?
Well, I saw the first season of Mr. Robot.
I've seen everyone but the last one. But yeah, he was great in that.
I thought he was good in that. I don't know what else he's in.
He should be, everyone should watch him in the Betty Broderick story.
Oh,
he plays
that's right.
Dirty John. Yeah. He plays Dan Broderick. It's on Netflix, I believe. Amanda Peet plays Betty Broderick. It's amazing.
Yeah,
like it is so, so good. I have to highly recommend that. That came out during COVID. He also is in Dr. Death, another really good Peacock series. It's based on the true crime podcast about these like rogue doctors who end up like committing like murder essentially. And like Pacey was in another one too. He was one of the doctors in like one of the seasons. I forgot the guy, like a spinal doctor, but he's really good in that.
For the Dr. Death, is he sort of like an angel of mercy? Like he thinks he's like alleviating suffering, or is it more like Mr. than that?
Yes, but yeah, he is kind of like ultra ambitious and is kind of playing a god a bit.
Okay. Gotcha.
But then I think it gets way more, the one with Pacey was like way more sinister. Like, I think the one with Pacey, it was like Pacey and then Joshua Jackson. I'm sorry. I will always call him Pacey. Alec Baldwin and Christian Slater. He, I think, was on the board when they found out that like Joshua Jackson was like doing all this fuck shit. And it was like him and Alec Baldwin, I believe they were like on the board of this hospital that were trying to get him like thrown out, trying to get, Joshua Jackson's license thrown out. He wasn't like the bad doctor. Okay. He was like one of the people that was also a doctor, but he was like figuring out what was going on.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty good. And then there's a new one now with Edgar Ramirez. I think it's Ramirez. Yeah, Edgar Ramirez, the guy who played Versace in the assassination of Gianni Versace, that series. He's the doctor, and Mandy Moore, I think, is like his wife who like ends up finding out like what's going on.
Oh,
so that's like the recent one. But it is actually pretty cool. It's a cool like series because the true crime, like the people that they're playing, this really happened, which is nuts.
Yeah,
like the medical type like shows like this, it's just nuts to think that this happens. But yeah, okay, so Mr. Robot, yes. And then he is recently in Fleischman Is in Trouble, which is a TV series. I didn't see that. I think that was on Hulu. And what else was he on? He was on something.
I did watch that Betty Broderick story series, which I thought was great, and frankly, yeah. If you ask me, I think that motherfucker had it coming.
Oh, but... totally. I love Amanda Peet as Betty. Oh, she was so good. And then also he was in King Cobra. That's what I was thinking of. Did you ever see that?
Right. Yeah.
That one with James Franco and like some who was that young guy where he was like a porn producer?
Yeah.
Of course, this makes sense for James Franco to be on like some seedy, weirdy movie. I feel like I saw this in like the theater. And I was I don't know why, because I really wanted to see, I think, because the cast at the time, I was like, ooh, Christian Slater, Molly Ringwald. And then I think I was watching and I was like, oh, this is really different. It was interesting, but it's real, I think. Isn't it like a real story that happened? Like these producers like killed this guy or something?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, but it was crazy. Yeah, and James Franco being in it, of course, makes a lot of sense now, later, but... But yeah, it's kind of nuts. Anyway, all right, sorry, go on. Rotten Tomatoes.
This script was specifically written for Christian Slater.
Of course.
And, you know, that makes sense. Even though she was playing a college student, Mila Jovovich was only 15 at the time of shooting.
It's kind of sketchy.
I mean, you know, she was playing a role, you know.
Right? Isn't she from another country? Do they have the same laws where, like, you're 18 and your parents have to, like, agree to it?
I mean, you know, if her parents agree to it and, you know, if it was something she wanted to do, I don't really see what the problem is.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what happened in, like, Angela and Jared Leto. He was, like, really old. I think she was, like, 15.
Ooh,
when
really?
She was in, when she was in My So-Called Life. Yeah, she was like 15 or 16, and he was definitely like 21 or 22, so around the same age gap. It is just kind of weird,
yeah,
when you think about it. But I mean,
The original title for this movie was "Gun for Hire," which doesn't make any, which I guess sort of makes sense. Like, I mean, there is this whole convoluted story about how, you know, San Francisco rents out their districts and you know, to like police, and like in order to get police protection, you have to pay for it. So
I was like, is this the mob? Like, isn't this just the mob?
I was like, this is very strange.
Yeah, it is definitely really weird.
So apparently the original choice to play Ted, who was eventually played by Tony Goldwyn, was the actor Fisher Stevens, who if you'll remember when we did Reversal of Fortune, he sort of played the informant. He tried to pass information to the attorney. But apparently people were just like, guys, this movie Ghost just ended. Tony Goldwyn is available. We have to, it's magic. We have to snap now, you know?
I know, so, right.
Thank God, because I thought Tony Goldwyn was hilarious in this movie.
He was so good. I was like, I like him. I was like, who is he? That's when I looked him up and I was like, oh, he's what? Like, and then I looked on Twitter and I was like, oh, people are still talking about how him and Kerry Washington are supposed to be like fucking in some show, and everyone's analyzing all the, like, the press that they did together. Like, he's got to be leaving his wife any day now. I was like, all right, this is, I think I tapped into some kind of weird universe for a second. I was just looking him up, see what he was doing now, and apparently Scandal is what he's doing now, or what he did. So funny.
Yeah, so that's all I have for behind the scenes stuff. What about you?
Okay, well, I have the fact that IMDb rates this a 5.9 out of 10, so that's actually pretty good, I have to say.
Yeah,
I really liked it. I really liked this film overall. I just think it was like really cute and fun. I don't think it was trying to be anything that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of cool. The budget was $10 million, which I find kind of a lot. But
yeah,
maybe permits.
They did do a lot of filming on the street, and you know, you know, there were lots of explosions and, you know, like, you know, gunshots and people being, you know, stabbed.
It was the last 15 minutes. I was like, what is actually happening? Like, why are you guys just shooting all these bullets? Almost like you have to use them all up, and you're just like constantly just someone's got an automatic. Christian Slater doesn't get hit at all. And then he randomly gets hit in like the side of the arm. And I was like, of course, then the stomach. And then I was like, okay, this is just like so weird. I think I actually wrote I don't know what's happening now. I don't know what happened to the story. It's very much like Gleaming the Cube, which we'll also do because it's like skater Christian Slater. But that story is like wild. It's like my adopted Vietnamese brother was killed, but it's like some mob thing that him as like a skater has to like figure out who like murdered him. It's like, what? I was like, couldn't you have made this way easier and just incorporated skating into like some other way? But no, they didn't do that. Let's see, so box office 21.1 million, so they did actually make up
that's the
money.
That's like a very respectable number. So
actually opening weekend it was 5 million, and they made it up because of home video and rentals. So was like back in the day, so it kind of flopped initially.
I would say probably about 500,000 of that was from me alone, so
so you helped take it over the line.
I believe so. I would like to think so.
You're like, I'm expecting an apology, or like, a thank you note, a handwritten thank you note from Christian Slater any day now. And then Letterboxd average gives it a 2.9 out of 5. Okay. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I have all the same notes you did, but I have some Letterboxd reviews, which are actually kind of funny.
Oh, nice.
So many of these are like actually kind of insane. But here's one. Let me see. Okay. This one is 3.5 stars by Jake Fletcher 89. They say, okay, where has this been all my life? Christian Slater talking to the camera like Ferris Bueller, a catchy Harold Faltermeyer soundtrack, Bruce Boxleitner, Mia Jovovich, and on top of that, it's actually funny and has some great action. I mean, I know the terms underrated or hidden gem get thrown around a lot, but the fact that this isn't streaming or widely available on DVD or anything like that is ironically enough and an outright crime. It's on YouTube, though, so check it out there before it inevitably gets taken down. You likely won't regret it. As I said before, you just can't get any cooler than Christian Slater, and this is him completely in his prime. I think this did something to Jake Fletcher as well. He sounds very, very excited. Someone says Christian Slater with the wisecrackery dialed up to an 11.
I mean, that review was far more positive than I was expecting. So
I know, right? I'm just trying to like quickly scan. I need to find like a shitty one. So here's one. Nikki, 2 stars. Women, if it weren't for them, there'd be no civilization. See ya. That's pretty good. Someone says,
the fact that that is the last line of this movie is hilarious.
I know, it actually is really, there's so many weird things, like the note that he writes for the cards, and it was like, just write kisses on her pink parts. I was like, oh my God. What? This is PG-13? Like, someone else said, I turned this shit off after 2 minutes in, because I don't need Jack Nicholson Jr. talking to me through a goddamn television. Oh God! I mean, it's true. It's kind of true. I'm gonna read some like 2 star. No, what's a 1 star? What's a half star? Give me a half star. Someone just writes, "This is not a good movie." Oh no! Someone said, "Not even the very good dog that shows up for 10 minutes could save this sack of shit."
I mean, that's a bold statement, because I love me some Thunder.
Like, I mean, Thunder's the best. Thunder is the best. It actually is kind of funny that this is right after Pump Up the Volume, because Pump Up the Volume was like so good.
I also do kind of love during one of the Thunder scenes how Christian Slater basically delivers an entire dialogue with like duct tape over his mouth.
I know, with the captions. Yeah. So funny. It's like, so comedy. It's really Yeah, it's like, we're going to die. There's a bomb. I was like, why am I watching it? Oh my God. Okay, here's one. No, this is the last one. 1 star. I lived in LA when this movie came out, and I remember the billboards promoting it all over town. I never went to see it, because even then, with all of its cliches, they were 30 years younger than they are today. It looked absolutely shallow. Now, having finally watched it for the first time, it feels like a time capsule prepared by the least thoughtful representatives that 1992 could find. This movie is just a series of incredibly thin superficialities skimmed from other better action movies, stitched together by an absolutely mirthless sense of humor and draped over a remarkably undefined plot. Slater is charming in a grating way, but even if you don't care for the smarminess of his performance, I did not. He is ill-served by the lackadaisical script, which seems completely disinterested in verisimilitude of any kind. Ooh, big words, Coy Vin. Ooh, watching it now makes me embarrassed for the 90s. Damn. Okay. Good for you. Good for you. Well,
pin a rose on your nose.
Exactly, right? Okay, well, let's move on to Fashion, done by Mary E. Voigt. I have no idea how to say that name.
I have to say, I thought the Fashions movie was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
What are some of your standouts?
Well, we have to talk about the glory that is this opening scene.
I mean, gray sweatpants? Is this where they came from?
Yeah, yeah.
This might be where they came from that people love on dudes, is gray sweatpants.
Just like dancing around your living room with a girl in your underwear. I mean, what more could you possibly want?
Like, I mean, Christian, I love how, like, what was the brainstorm on this? Like, how are we going to start out? Literally 3.5 minutes of the two quote-unquote co-stars, even though I don't know why Mila Jovovich was listed as a co-star, because she was barely in this. And not really. And, like, why... let's just have them dancing in their underwear. It's like some song we can get the license to. And it was, like, that song that's in Tommy Boy. It's that one that's, like, things are going great. and they're I'm only doing getting better.
All right. Yeah. Getting good grades. The future's so, so bright. I gotta wear shades.
It's like the silliest song, but it's very 90s. It's in a lot of 90s movies. Yeah.
This is, I'm going to do a jump in the story, but I really like the police academy sweats that mm-hmm. they have to wear, and that scene where they're, like, jogging up and down the beach, and, like, he stops and says, why do we have to be in shape? Aren't we going to be, like, driving everywhere in cars? And
like, you know? I know, and he's like, go, he starts yelling at him.
Move it, asshole! Move it! I do love when George and Mia kind of come back together towards the middle, and they're just kind of walking around town. There are also like some really great shots of San Francisco.
Yeah, I love the cityscapes.
I love how George is in kind of like a Letterman's jacket, and Mia is in kind of like a just like a plain leather jacket. They're just mm-hmm. kind of like walking around town, like holding hands, and just kind of like being adorable. So there's that.
Getting tattoos.
Yeah.
That we don't see.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I was like, okay, I mean, sure.
You couldn't give them, like, a temporary something?
I mean, is it really like that? Anyway. There's the scene when we first meet Sam Jones at the cemetery after Brad's funeral. And I have to say, I really loved his tie. It sort of was like a square, blotchy, cutoff kind of like, you know, geo-art-esque kind of.
Was it Sam's tie?
Yeah. Sam's tie. Oh,
okay,
tie.
Yeah. I was like, I wrote down George's outfit at the funeral. I liked at the cemetery. I liked that outfit, too.
And then as if that opening scene was, like, not incredible enough, we have a redux of it where we have George basically running around his apartment. Like, he's all wet, just in, like, blue jeans when he gets attacked by Kane.
just like a great
concept for a like action scene, like Christian Slater in only jeans.
Only jeans and like a gun, just freewheeling and jumping around his apartment, looking and like then, an idiot, but hot at the same time.
My final note for fashion is Thunder, because he's the cutest accessory ever.
Oh, Thunder's so cool. Yeah. I love Saint Bernards. That's a Saint Bernard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're so cute when they're little, but then they get so huge.
Oh my
like
god.
That dog. They get so huge. Oh, cool. All right. Well, mine are similar. I just wrote the criminals at the beginning are actually really stylish.
Oh, are they?
I noticed that. The guy that like Brad shoots in the beginning, where he's like, I shot this guy. He has a really cool like belt on, and like he looks kind of like hippie-ish. I don't know. I thought that was kind of a cool vibe. Let's see. Then we have obviously like the varsity jacket, Letterman jacket is probably one of like the classic scenes from the film, is like when he's going in to talk to Brad, and he has on like the Henley underneath it and the jeans and those boots, and he has his hair slicked back, and like he gives me very like sassy Dylan McKay.
Yeah.
Like just to, like it, this whole prototype of like the bad boy but in like the James Dean kind of way was really big in the early 90s, and I think Luke Perry is a complete architect of that. I think we've realized that late, but I think honestly out of everyone that really inspired the 90s generation of actor, it was Luke Perry. It was Dylan McKay. Yeah. I think even Leonardo DiCaprio has mentioned that when he met Luke Perry, it was like, holy shit. Because he was like, not only, I urge everyone to go back. I actually, I forgot to tell you, Charles, I was going to like text you last night that I'm back into Melrose Place.
Oh, really? Okay.
I dipped out, so I'm back in, and I was like, I was thinking about, like, you know, Dylan McKay and 90210 and everything, and I was, like, watching some of the old scenes from like, Dylan's highlight seasons. If this is a random episode, and who knows when anyone will listen to this, but if you have not watched Beverly Hills 90210, like, the original one, please watch it. It is incredible acting going on that show, and I think Luke Perry was, I mean, he was definitely pop culture famous, but I think as an actor, he was incredible. In Beverly Hills 90210. So Dylan McKay was, as they say, the blueprint. And I think that Christian Slater, although he was kind of on his own journey because he'd already done Heathers. I think that was probably his like breakout in terms of personality type role, where you could see his personality. And then he kind of got cast from that. like Pump Up the Volume, this, and Heathers are all like a very similar Christian Slater. Like,
yeah,
it's his personality that's getting cast now. He's not like a Leo where he's like doing period stuff and he's like doing accents. Oh, which is one thing that I read too, is that he accepted this role because when they approached him with it, because he didn't have to worry about historical accuracy or accents. Oh, so that was a big reason why he wanted to do this. I was like, what did he do before this that was with an axe? Did he do something that was like a period thing?
Yes, I thought he, I can't remember if it was before or after this, but I think he also did that movie Mobsters at some point where he was sort of, I think it took place in like 1920s, 1930s New York, possibly.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
Was he playing like a real person?
I haven't seen it. I like saw like kind of a heavily edited version of it on like USA in 1996.
Oh shit, he was in Broken Arrow. Travolta. I forgot about that. I've seen that like on TV. Wait, let me look up Mobsters. I feel like that was a long time ago. Like before or was it after? God, he did a lot. Oh, it was right before. Oh,
okay.
Oh, he played Lucky Luciano? Oh, yeah, that's like a historical figure.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Let me add this to the running. Patrick Dempsey and Christian Slater playing Italian mobsters. We're doing this. This sounds really good. Who are the other two? Costas Mandalore, Patrick Dempsey, Rodney Eastman, Richard Greco.
Oh. Like, he was like a cover model, right? Like from the 90s?
Yeah, I think so, right? And it wasn't like a musician too?
I think so.
Yeah.
He always sort of reminded me of like the real life, Uncle Jesse, you know?
He totally does. He was like a pop star in Europe, but like never really was here, I think. Yeah. That's kind of funny. Okay, Mobsters, I want to write that down. Apparently, according to IMDb, it has 5.9 out of 10. So it's just about the same rating as Cuffs. Yeah. But that sounds cool. I mean, I love me some Christian Slater. So I can see why. Then this is completely different because that is like a historical story. So you kind of have to be like, make sure that you get it right. People are really touchy about like mob stories. Okay, let's see. Also for Maya. Oh, I forgot to mention the cemetery outfit. He has like an oversized blazer and a vest on and like a t-shirt and jeans. It's very 90s, but I like that that was his like kind of more dressed up outfit. Maya, I love when she's on the phone, when he calls her and he's like breathing into the phone. She has this like cool red blouse on. You don't really see the rest of her outfit, but that looked really cool. And then she has that white blazer and that blue dress when she goes to see him at the hospital.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. I think that's when they go and like when he gets out and stuff, that's what she's wearing. Like around town, or maybe it's another outfit. She's like a green on. She always looks great. I mean, she was a model, so it's like you can't really go wrong. No one else in there had any like super cool. There was one of the criminals that was dressed like kind of punky. There usually always is. Like there's always one that kind of looks like a little weird and punky, and then you know those like weird Italian looking suits like. That sweater, someone had like this gold sweater on that was like kind of weird, but yeah, it was cool. It was very like late 80s, early 90s generic. Yeah. Kane was actually dressed kind of cool, like kind of Miami Vice a little. He had like that weird aqua blazer, and I think George mentioned something like, why would those girls be with someone who dressed like that? And I was like, he looks cool. It's very Miami Vice. It's probably not the place for Sam, like not the style for San Francisco at the time, but it seemed very like Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Don Johnson was in that show Nash Bridges where he was a cop in San Francisco and he wore really crazy blazers.
Yeah, like there's that scene where Kane was like leaving his apartment and like Ted makes that comment about, you know, like they're like, how can they, you know, be with a man who dresses that badly? And I was like, I got the sense this was more of a girlfriend's hang out with their gay bestie kind of situation. Like, I didn't really think it was romantic at all. So.
I mean, they made it seem like it was like prostitutes.
Yeah.
Or like it was like their girlfriends or something like that. They were dressed really cool too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like those girls were dressed really cool too. Yeah, I thought he looked really, I thought he looked rad. I was like, maybe you just look boring. Christian Slater did look really good in the cop uniform though.
Oh,
they had like the jacket over it. Like that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty hot.
There's also when like Kane like attacks, you know, George in the apartment, he's wearing that like shirt with his own, what looks like his own mugshot has been like superimposed on like the front of it.
Yeah. I know. It's really funny. He just has like really cool shit. I mean, he has really cool style, I think, even off duty. Like I remember Christian Slater being photographed at like airports and similar to like a Johnny Depp. Like he had really cool like off duty style, you know, like in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of one of those guys who just could do and dress anywhere and like dress in anything really. He always had cool sunglasses. He has cool sunglasses on in this too.
Yeah.
I feel like they're his for some reason. They just look like those would be his. Cool. Oh, also I forgot that the costume designer, Mary, she did the costumes for Batman Returns, Hocus Pocus, Kong Ooh. Skull Island recently, and Nick of Time, that movie with Johnny Depp. Yeah. That movie's really good. That movie with Johnny Depp, where he's like,
no, I saw it in the theater.
That's cool.
It was the first time I'd ever seen a movie that took place in real time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, why aren't we all doing this?
Oh, I know. Right. It's kind of wild. It's cool though. Have you ever seen the show 24?
Yes.
Doesn't that take place in real time?
Yes.
Yeah. So every episode's an hour, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's,
is that worth watching?
As a show?
How long was that on?
Yeah, it's good. I think there are at least like 9 or 10 seasons. It's like weird because the plot that kind of gets the season going and starts everything out is usually not what happens like at the end. Like usually around like the 12-hour mark, there's like a flip where like something just like completely upends and changes. And you're like, whoa.
Oh, every season?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd say at least for the first 2 or 3. Yeah.
So every season is one day?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, wow. Or every season is... No, every season is like 24 days. Because every episode is one day? Or is every episode 1 hour?
No, the entire season is one day.
Oh, okay, so every episode is 1 hour. Okay,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Hey, it was either between 24 or Prison Break, because they were on around the same time. So I was like, which one should I watch?
Yeah, I know.
Have you seen Prison Break?
I think I saw the first season, and I think that it eventually leads to a place that's like nuts, where they like where I think like the first season is all about, you know, like the first prison break, and then they break out, and I think they somehow end up in like South America, and or they end up in like Central America, and they end up back in prison again. But this isn't just any prison. This is like a prison for people who professionally break out of prisons. So it's like really serious.
Like The Great Escape?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
But that's what I've heard. I think I've only actually seen the first season or so. But yeah.
Damn. Wow, okay. Well, that was Fox shows were like on it then.
Oh my god.
They had like those, they had House.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've seen a few episodes of. Like they had like big shows, like shows that people watch.
Yeah.
That's another like really popular one. How wild. I think I might watch Prison Break. I kinda wanna start that show.
Yeah, it's good.
It sounds kinda good. Cool. All right. Any more fashion notes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, music.
We talked about the open song, and then I also noted that every single 90s movie, at least up until 1994. At some point, we're going to have a somber, reflective early 90s power ballad, and we did. So,
We sure did.
The title is unimportant. The person who sang it is unimportant. Just know this is 1992. We are going to have one. You just have to deal with it. So,
and it's called "I Don't Want to Live Without You" by Greg Tripp. And I don't even know if that's a real song or a real person, but it's some song.
We also reached a moment in "Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Day," which came out in 1991. where, like, you know, things start to kind of break down and, you know, things are just not going right. And then all of a sudden the song, like, in a perfect world, you would never cry. Do, 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 do. And then, like, the chorus comes up and he's like, but this ain't no perfect world.
I need to watch that again. I feel like I've overextended myself, and I think I've promised it to, like, every person on the podcast. So I think I'm, like, actively avoiding it because I like, don't know if I'm going to do it. And then three people are going to text me and be like, what the fuck, Lauren? You said we were going to do Don't Tell Mom the Baby's
I have been actively pitching you to do this movie for, like, 3 years. So.
Okay, so we should just do it because I've seen it once a long time ago, but I don't remember a lot of it. But I know that I remember really liking it, but then I just didn't watch it again. And I don't know how I didn't, but we should just do it. I think it's streaming somewhere. So we're if anyone's listening that does the podcast, Mike and Jules, we're doing it. we're setting time.
Just know that even though, you know, Christina Applegate is just the star of this movie, Joanna Cassidy is, like, the real star.
Like, I think fashion. We have to do it.
As I've noted many, many times, and you're just like, yeah, let's do it next week. So,
okay, well, we're going to do it then. That's just how it is. Don't Tell Mom is coming up soon. I think I was going to do it in, like, October for some reason. And then I was like, well, I don't know. So, yeah, we're doing it now. Settled.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next one. We're also going to do Real World Hawaii next month on the Patreon for all you folks if you want to catch up. I think it's on YouTube somewhere, so... start watching that now because it's about to get crazy. We're going to talk interventions. Ruthie, Matt, Amaya, Colin.
God damn it, Matt. God.
Kaya and Justin. Oh, Tech. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. It's a hot mess. That season is bananas. It's like actually out of control. So yeah, I can't wait.
Like this was one of those seasons where I kind of wish they'd just be like, The producers were like, I know we said we're only going to film for 6 months, but we can't stop now. We need to keep going.
We need at least a year. Like, we need a full fucking year. And even outside of that, they should have been like, I'm sorry, MTV, we need them for an extended period of time. Like, we need to find out, like, what the fuck's happening. What the hell's going to happen with Justin? We need a reunion. Like, we need a Hawaii reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we really need, I think. I really want to see what all of them would do and how Ruthie and Matt, like, would talk about what happened and, like, what went down. Like, I want to know if she even has any, like, feelings about it, or maybe she's just been like, look, that was so long ago, but we all have a right to know because this has been on TV. We've been obsessing about it. Like, Colin and Amaya, like, what happened?
Their personal feelings don't matter. They need to think about us.
Yeah, right. They definitely need to think about us. Everything is for money now. Everything's monetized. So, like, everyone's, like, uncomfortability and, like, weird shit they did when they were 21. Like, we demand to know and embarrass you again. Like, we will remind you that this happened. Okay, yeah. So Hawaii is on the docket, too. So everyone can watch that. Let's see. Also, that as listed in one of those Letterboxd reviews, Harold Faltermeyer is the guy who did, like, the synth, like, 80s basically, like, backtrack or kind of score to this whole film, which I really liked. But then I said I did like the 80s synth background music that kind of goes with action. Like, I think Point Break had a similar type song vibe too. A lot of the ones that don't have, like, noticeable soundtracks, that's one thing that I kind of wish that this had. I wish this had more of a recognizable soundtrack.
But
this was, like, early 90s. I guess it was still kind of like the 90s were the time of the soundtrack. I don't think the 80s was marketing it as much because it was tape. I really remember, like, CDs being a big thing because it was just really easy to fit, like, 12 songs on it, and it was another way to sell the movie and stuff like that. But yeah, cool. Alrighty, well, favorite scenes and lines, what do you got?
Oh boy.
I just made lots of crazy notes.
Yeah, same. We talked about the interest scene, the dancing.
I just wrote, what a way to drop a pregnancy bomb.
I mean,
that's what I wrote. In the beginning, they're just, like, dancing and being all cute and funny, and then she's just like, I'm pregnant. His face, he like spins around. They're like dancing and he spins around to the camera and he's like, fuck. Yeah. I thought that was really funny. That's how we get the fourth wall break.
I mean, there are just some things you can't prepare the other person for. You just have to say it, and there isn't a good time, there isn't a bad time. You just have to get it out there, and consequences be damned, you know? Yeah.
He's like, how long? Yeah. She's like, 2 months? And he's like, are you sure?
Yeah, and then she goes over to the seat, to the boombox, and he's just like, God. The first thing she's going to ask me after she comes back is like, so what do you think, George? You know?
Like, what do you mean, what do I think? And I would be like, and then I love how he like looks at the camera. I mean, I don't love, I'm being like funny, but I love how he looks in the camera and he's like, it's gonna be really sad when I leave her, you know, like I'm such a dick. But I was like, whoa, this is how we're starting out. And then I was like, okay, he's definitely not gonna leave her. We get like 50 minutes in and I was like, he's left her, he left us. Like, he fucking left you with this baby. Thankfully, it all gets worked out in the end, but there was touch and go for a minute there. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if I like this scenario. Like, God, scary.
So, this favorite is not, like, a word I'd use to describe this scene, but I just thought it was very effective and done well, but just Brad shooting. Like when he goes into the church, like, good God. Like,
we think we're having
this, like, you know, like sly, smarmy, you know, like comedy. And boy, does it take a turn.
Yeah. It definitely does. Almost like that divorce bomb that happens in the Ms. Doubtfire. Like, that was like, we have to still do Ms. Doubtfire, but that was like really dramatic as kids. And it was like, I want a divorce. And it was like, like, so fucking, like, things scratched. It was like, holy shit, she's actually getting rid of dad. It's like, Sally Field, you dumb bitch. You dumb fucking bitch. Do you know how lovely all of us would love to be married to Robin Williams right now? Love. This is a perfect man. What the fuck's wrong with you? You're making big money, you architect. Look at this big ass house in San Francisco. This big ass house. They had it so good. He threw a crazy party. What's the big deal?
Like, thing about marriage is that it wasn't just about the party. It was about, you know, the 15 years leading up to the party, I guess.
So. I guess, right? He didn't cheat on you. What's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, you know. I just listened to this crazy audiobook at work called 28 Summers. Mm-hmm. And it's about a woman whose aunt dies and she inherits a cottage in Nantucket.
Okay. And
she it starts in 1993, ends in 2020, and she basically has a one-night stand with a college friend of her brother's, and they make a deal to meet again at the cottage every single year on Labor Day. And they do until like the end. And it's like insane.
For 28 years?
I think it's called 28 years or 28 summers, but
28 summers.
Yeah.
But for 28 years they did this?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? And were either one of them like married?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is not a movie. This is scandalous. I want this movie. I mean, I kind of want to listen to this audiobook too.
No. Like,
I'm gonna add it right now.
They like get married. They both have kids at one point, although she has one out of wedlock. Just saying,
from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Drama.
And you know, every chapter kind of starts out the same. So it starts in 1993, and it starts out with, what were we talking about in 1993, you know? And then it just gives us, like, long lists, you know, just, like,
news events. Get Reese Witherspoon on the line! We need her to produce the series for HBO with Laura Dern immediately. and Nicole Kidman. We need Big Little Lies crew back immediately.
Oh my God. That would be incredible. Like, I could actually see them doing kind of a Crown type thing where they like cast different people for different eras, you know?
Yes.
Like,
oh, Also, The Crown needs to be revived. I'm sorry. Back in that writing room. There's a lot of shit going on now.
I was like, why'd they have to end it now?
I know. I was like, it clearly did not die with Elizabeth. Pick up those pens. We need to know. We need to know Harry and Meghan. That's a whole other season. That's like a full season. And then we've got like this now. We've got, you know, they didn't do the death of Elizabeth. Oh, no, they did. That was kind really of recent.
Of, I guess. Yeah,
kind of, sort of. They could do like a full one and then Charles' coronation and then like what's happening now. Like, it's not even over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Keep it going.
I know.
But yeah, it's just a Big Little Lies. That 28 Summers needs to happen. With Reese Witherspoon helming at her production company. I feel like that needs to happen. I can see it.
Yeah. And please. It's weird because I usually don't get into like romance novels, but this was like really good, so
like, oh, it sounds like gut-wrenching. I kind of want to like listen to it. I added it to my Spotify.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'm gonna listen to it. Cool. Let's see. Yeah, what are some of your other scenes? Do you have any others?
Okay, I love when we first meet Ted, and like they're like driving around, he's like kind of being a dick to Cuffs, and then they like see Kane, and then George like starts to follow him, and then they like kind of like he starts to get out of control, and then they like kind of lose control of the car, and then Ted just like loses his shit and just like goes off on George, and it's just like so funny.
Like, they start fighting like in the street. Like, it's so funny. And then the real cops like roll up and they're like, Ted, what the fuck's going on? Like, why are you fighting this kid? And he's like, aren't you on you're on probation? I love that when Cuffs first meets Ted, he's like, oh great. And he's like, I wonder what you did to like, you know, have to deal with me. And he's like, I don't know. And then he's like, you don't get laid much, do you? And he just goes like, eh. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, what do I mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? And he's like laughing to himself. And then we find out later that he's having an affair with like the chief's wife. That's why he's actually like suspended. And it reminds me of that bit in Silicon Valley when the guy's like talking to Jared and he's like, this guy fucks. This is the guy that fucks. It's always the one that you never expect. And it's totally him. And then you see that it's the chick, the lieutenant from Baywatch. It's the girl who plays the chief's wife. I was like, oh my god, it's the chick from Baywatch. This is so funny. Yeah, I love that he was like a real dark horse. And then he tries to drug him with like the evidence. I was like, wait, you're getting like drugs from the evidence locker to drug a fellow police officer. This is wild. And then you like want to take it back because you're like, wait, you're actually like kind of cool. Like, why did you throw the coffee out? Why did you keep it in the car so you could drink it? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, like you'd think he'd like at least like swat it out of his hand because Ted has this thing where he like won't drink hot coffee and actually gives George some time to get to know him. He's like, oh, okay, you're kind of awesome. Like,
yeah, you're kind of cool. Oh, I also love when he has that like police academy training Cuffs does, and he does like a perfect score at the gun range.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never shot a gun a day in my life. And he's like, bum, 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 bum. Just shoots all of them, like, in the middle. Yeah. They're like, what? Maybe you're really good at this. And that's really funny.
I've heard that some people are just really naturally good at shooting, you know? It's just weird, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. But, yeah.
Know, that's a scary part, is you don't know who's good and who's not.
Yeah.
God, so scary. I also, I mean, the fact that, like, the way that he even inherits the police station is just really odd. Like, and the way that they tried to kind of explain it in the very beginning, where they're like, back in 1851, the police like didn't have enough money to hire like police officers at like certain places in the city. So they just like privatized it and like sold it to like random people who wanted to pay a quote unquote police agency to like kind of patrol, but like just pay money. Like, what? It didn't even make sense from the start. I was like, this story makes no sense. And he gets, you know, given this. And then by the end, he's like expanding his territory. I was like, so he's like a mobster. He's just like taking more money out to get a bigger territory to like now rule. And now he has like a wife and child.
Yeah.
I guess we're still on the morality train because he married her. It's kind of funny that he like married her in the end. I was like, you didn't have to marry. I mean, it's nice, but
So I also loved this shootout at the apartment with Kane.
I know, it's wild.
This was like batshit insane. And I like love how during the whole thing he's like, oh god, where did I put my gun? Like, god, you know, it's just like
it's cooking a turkey again. I was like, yeah. What is up with this? The fact that the only thing you know how to cook is turkey. Like, it's funny. It's really funny.
And it's just like this whole convoluted chase where Kane is just like stalking him down through his apartment, and George's plan B is to basically try to remember where he put his gun so he can defend himself.
I know.
He's like running from room to room, just being like, where did I put my gun? Like, I can't
basically
find it.
Like, how do you afford this fucking apartment? Was my thing. Well, I was like, all of these rooms, like, why are we going into all these different rooms? Like, where? Yeah. It's so huge. And he has the brick. It's like a loft. Yeah. It's like a super cool loft. Well, I thought
they said at one point that this was Brad's apartment. He just kind of moved in.
Oh, he just like moved in. Oh, mm-hmm. That's right. Because the apartment that he had, he wasn't in San Francisco before. Wasn't he in like Sacramento?
Oh yeah. I think you're right.
Because that's where she goes. Maya goes like back there. Yeah. Yeah. I do love that he saw Maya when he's like responding to a jumper call. He's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to like call someone off the roof. This is crazy. Like, what do we pay you for? I was like, what do you mean? Like, he has to get this guy off the roof. This is so wild. And then that's when he sees Maya and he's like, hey, Maya. And they're like, there's a guy on the roof about to jump. And he's like, hold on, I'll be right back. And then she's like, why are you there with Robert? And then it becomes like a whole like other story. And then I was like, I just wrote, what is going on? This is all like, so random.
I was like, what are you talking about? You dumped her. Like, I mean,
you left her and wrote her a Dear John letter. And then, of course, when you're in the hospital, she wants to find out if you're okay. This almost happened in the course of like a few days.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
We don't ever, she doesn't ever look pregnant, but they never showed her stomach for a while. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is she like 9 months pregnant now? Like, what is the timeline here? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, I get the sense it's been maybe like a week or two since.
Yeah, it's
letter.
Like really short.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a short span.
I mean, it's. I mean, it's clearly a few, it's probably like at least a month or two, just because, I mean, I imagine they aren't going to let you, like, just, you know, show up at, like, a police office with, like, no training. But I thought the thing was, like, he was making a deal where he was going to go to the academy during the day and, like, alternate or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Like, how does he get paid? Like, how much does he get paid?
Well, I think he gets paid through the people that sign up for his service.
I know, so. But, like, how much is it, though? Like, honestly, how much are these people paying you that he can afford to pay his other employees?
Yeah.
Like, they're paying a lot. It's not, like, city sanctioned. It's private. I was like, how does your brother make any money? Like, it's all private. Like, is he, like, a strong man? Like, what is he doing? Is he, like, beating people up who, like, don't pay? Or, like, looking the other way? Well, he gets payment, I guess, for looking the other way. It's very mobby. It's, like, super mobby.
It's really strange. I do love this quote where he, like, talks to the guy who's building it. It is. And he's just like, well, if that guy jumps, it's going to be really bad for property values. And Cuffs is just like, but I don't know what to say to him. And he like chooses the most abrasive, like confrontational way to confront a suicide jumper like possible.
I know.
Like he like goes through the window and just says, hey, asshole. Yes, you look, if you're going to jump, jump. Otherwise, the bridge is otherwise use the bridge like everyone else. You're screwing up the traffic.
Like that's so New York too. Like that feels very like New York. Like, yo, you're fucking shit up. Go use a bridge like everybody else. We got stuff going on down here. Oh my god. It's just like I do think that one of the best lines is what you said earlier where he's like, why are we doing so much running? Aren't we all gonna be in cars? Oh god!
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, yeah, he's totally not wrong. And then we have that really weird cursing scene where like everything's like bleeped out, and then he's like, "Oh, you know, lots of great words," and he's like, "Hey, Cuffs, fuck you." Jason, like that's really funny too.
I do also love this scene where he gets a call from Mr. Chang, and like I guess Kane is trying to shake him down for money, and like Cuffs like shows up, and I don't think he has any idea what he's doing, but like he says the line, You know, he's like trying to explain to Kane how like policemen work, and he's just like, you see, if Mr. Chang were on your property and he was leaning on you, I'd ask him to leave. And if he didn't do it, I'd pull my gun out like this out of its holster. And then as he's doing it, he like literally takes the gun out, puts it to Kane's head, like says, says, you know, just like this, and shout, do we have an understanding, or do you want to see if you can breathe through to your forehead?
That has to be ad-lib somehow. It has to be ad-lib. It's just so funny. Like, it's just so him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so him. It's so funny.
I also really love his banker.
Oh, yeah. But, and then at the end, what was that? Where he, like, tried to scare him, and then he's like, whoa!
What? Well, I guess he had like a payment due, and so like the chief like brought him over, and like I had a feeling that like the banker was going to let him have it, you know, but like I guess like they showed up just after he killed Kane, and so he like thought them. I guess he thought they were more henchmen, so he, you know, like opened the door and like pointed his gun. Like, the banker just like bit down on his tongue, just goes like,
yeah. Yeah, it was so awkward. I was like, what is this? It's so weird. This whole movie, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is this? Oh, another thing I just read on IMDb is that Christian Slater was nominated for Best Male Performance at the 1992 MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, well, thank God for that. I mean,
I know, right? He did not win. Unfortunately, I'm trying to find out who did win, but yeah, he did not win, but that's pretty good. We need to cover one of the movie awards too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the old ones. I haven't seen like those early 90s ones. I think I've seen like I've only seen like one. I used to like the VMAs more,
mm-hmm.
but I guess now that we're doing the movies, it's probably interesting to see everyone together, like all the stars of the 90s and like what they're up to.
I remember watching the one live where I think Scream one for like what was the equivalent of their best picture. I think I just call it best.
It's like best movie or something. Yeah, so. I like that. They don't have now. They have like now it's called the MTV like Movie and TV Awards. But I think it. like it's because they're. I'm like, why can't you keep doing movies?
Yeah.
Oh, the MTV Awards are on YouTube. 96. Yeah. They're on YouTube. So
okay,
that's cool. But yeah, that's another one I want to do eventually too. Let's see. The fact that he gets arrested on that technicality because he lied on his application because he hasn't finished high school.
Yeah.
was really funny. That is going to end up being what takes him down. I thought was great. And then the fact that like the chief's wife like moved in with Ted. He fucks, dude. He's even driving around in like the chief's Corvette that ends up getting melted, and that was the only quote that I wrote was that he goes, "It's melting, it's melting." The chief's car is melting, it's melting. It's like, oh my god. I'm sorry, Charles. I'm gonna watch Scandal. I think I'm like gonna become one of those people because I really like Ted. Like a lot. I thought he was great. And then I wrote, oh my gosh, the end of this was a total mess with the shootout. It was kind of sort of like, you know how like Point Break was so good that it easily could have been really messy, but it ended up being like such a fucking great movie, like outside of it being like kind of Keanu being a little dopey, mm-hmm. and same with like Gary Busey, like what a weird ragtag we had to deal with, and like Patrick Swayze being like ultimately way smarter than everyone there.
Yeah.
And like him somehow having to like, you know, he does actually get away, I mean, to be fair. So I mean, he is like the smartest one, but this movie, I feel like it's really funny, the script is great, but I feel like if we had someone like a Catherine Bigelow directing it and we had like a tighter story, I feel like this could have been really fucking cool.
Yeah,
and I mean, more of like a better, well-rounded film.
I mean, this was the director's first movie, and it kind of feels like it was the director's first movie.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think like God, Catherine Bigelow doing the script would be incredible.
I know,
but yeah, this is fun. You know, it's just kind of. It's just, you know, Christian Slater being, you know, a goofball for 90 minutes. Yeah. So no complaints.
No complaints. I thought it was super fun and a great like afternoon watch. And it's good then to have, you know, something like super dark, which we're, well, we'll kind of sort of get on Hawaii. Like it's kind of dark, but we're doing In the Bedroom and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Those are the ones that we're doing coming up. I'm recording SLC Punk. I'm doing a remix of that on Thursday. So that'll be out next week. But yeah, do you have any other final thoughts? I mean, the end is obviously he gets married and has the baby, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it ended well, so I guess it could have been worse, but yeah, thankfully it wasn't.
Thankfully, yeah.
But I guess if you're Christian Slater and you're hot, then life is going to be okay.
That's true. Life is going to be fine, and he's going to own like half of San Francisco at this point. And it felt very like open for a sequel.
yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't mind if he revisited that even now. Like, let's have like maybe he's like training up his daughter Sarah to be the head of the special auxiliary police or whatever it's called. Like Cuffs that would Jr. actually be good. Yeah, Cuffs Jr. That'd be cute. That'd be really good. Yeah. And have like him and his best friend is like Pauly Shore and they're just like stoned on the couch all day and his daughter is like, Dad, what the fuck? I'm trying to like, you know, leave a legacy, you know? Like, and he's just like,
How have Christian Slater and Pauly Shore not done a movie together? I feel like that would be magic.
So magic. It would have been so great. I mean, they still can.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's still time. I need to be a casting agent and be like, someone find a script for them to do. I just want them in a movie together. Thank you. Yeah. That's all. We'll entertain that later. But yeah, or even like a TV show. You know what I would actually really love? I do want to do the first episode of Californication because I happen to love that series.
Okay.
But I would love a show where Christian Slater is like, did you ever watch Californication?
I don't believe so. I do sort of know the premise though.
It's like very like David Duchovny is like this hotshot writer in LA and he's like a screenwriter and like writes books and stuff. Anyway, and his agent is Charlotte's husband in Sex and the City.
Oh, okay.
The other one. Okay. Harry, I guess. Yeah. It's so good because like Duchovny like has a daughter, is divorced, but he's like a hotshot. Like he's a playboy, he's super hot. He's always like doing coke and sleeping with random girls, but he's really funny. Christian Slater would be perfect in a role like that, like a TV series where we follow him and it's like his life. And I think even in Californication, I don't remember, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I think he does talk to the camera. Like I think he does break the fourth wall. It reminds me of that kind of humor too. And David Duchovny is another one who's like similar to Christian Slater. Like he's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think he's like dry. He's also from New York City. Okay. So he's also like kind of dry and like takes himself not that seriously, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I want to do more Christian Slater movies. I want to see this mobster movie. I'm going to put that on my list. I want to do some more of like the I want to do Broken Arrow eventually because I mean, I have seen that. But I want to like explore more of his 90s filmography.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I do love him.
He is just delightful. He is just the rash that keeps on giving, you know?
He is, though. He really is. He's, like, so fun. He's so fun at that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, like, comment, subscribe, do all that fun shit, share, tell your friends, leave a review, and we will see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.